Hello, everyone. The scripture reading for today is Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 47. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
Could you spare some change? Anybody? It kind of looks a little different when a guy in a suit is asking for change, doesn't it? Be like, hey, if you can afford that suit, you can afford to do anything, right? You know, sometimes we have no clue what's behind the suit. We have no clue what's behind the clothes. We have no idea what's behind the mask. We have no idea what's behind that sign that's saying, I will do anything for a little bit of change. Nowadays, we're kind of scared of money. It's dirty. Speaking of which, there is a box back there. If you were confused earlier on where to put your offerings and online too, you can do that, because nowadays we do that kind of stuff. But you know what? There are a lot of stigmas in our world, aren't there? In fact, if I gave some words to you, I think you would probably put a face to some of those stigmas. Here's one of them. We'll work for food. I'm a vet. My car is broken down. I need help. You've seen those before, right? You've seen the people on the corners around here, and some of them are out and out liars. But some need help. I was reminded of that this last week. I think it was this week. My weeks all run into one. There's a guy with a Dodge van just down here across from Menards, and he said, I need some help. And I looked at his van, and I was like, yep. It's either terminal or somebody that's better than me needs to fix that thing, because it looks bad. And I knew that that was his house. Well, through hook or crook or something, there was a number of people that got involved, and they towed it, and they fixed it. At least he has a place to live now that works. But when you see people doing this, don't you get a little uncomfortable? Some of you are like, yeah, do I have anything in there? I don't know. Maybe some receipts? Today I want to talk to you about a guy that we think his name is Bartimaeus. But later on in the sermon, you'll find out that's not his name. And the reason why. Let's bow our heads as we open God's scriptures today. Father in heaven, I pray that you will open our hearts and minds to you today as we just look at the story of one man that came into contact with you directly. And dear Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we take this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it matter if I give a couple coins or a dollar or even 20 bucks? It'd be interesting for me to see what it would be like, or to imagine what it would be like to be blind. In fact, because we're online, and because I don't know who's going to hear this or see this later, there may be somebody listening right now that is blind, that has never seen what we know as light or color. But they're listening to my voice right now, and they can hear things that you and I can't hear. You see, I used to do blind camp with the youth camps. And as a pastor, I would go, and I remember the first one was Wisconsin here. And have you ever heard the expression, the blind leading the blind? I should say this, the partially blind leading the blind. And it was about dusk. So somebody with tunnel vision and somebody that was totally blind going across a wide open field sounds not dangerous whatsoever until the pine trees happen. And I watched that from the open field into the trees and then feeling for the big wire. I think it was a rope that would lead them to the dinner hall. They missed it, and they both went headlong into a tree. And I couldn't yell fast enough, and I couldn't run fast enough. And then I expected, oh, that's terrible, blah, blah. And I saw these two young men laying on the ground laughing their heads off. They're like, who put that tree there? And I kind of had to look at things a little bit different after that and realize that sometimes we look at the negative too much. So today, let's go into this story about a blind man. Some of you listening may be blind, but listen to this story, those of you who can see. A man that was dependent on others absolutely during this time because they didn't have the modern conveniences that we do today. Maybe they had a cane, maybe they had a seeing eye dog, I don't know. But it's amazing to me to even contemplate this story, being blind, what it would be like to live in the time of the Bible and not have someone to help you. Turn in your Bibles with me back to that Mark chapter 10. For just today, let's call him Bart. And I know that has a lot of negative connotations. Let's not go there, okay? Verse 46 says of chapter 10 in Mark, then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, David, thou son of David, not David, son of David, have mercy on me. Can you hear it? Shh, the teacher's busy. Quit bothering him. Jesus stopped in the middle of his teaching and called him and said, call him here. Basically, bring him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage and stand up. He is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, what? You got any change? What did he ask of Jesus? That I may see. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him down the road. I don't know if you understand the whole nuance of this, but it is life-shattering for someone in this day and age, back in this time, to get any ailment that would be something you have to depend on other people. Number one, people thought that you did something bad. Let that sink in for a couple minutes. Have any of you had a serious illness and thought, God's punishing me? Have any of you seen somebody else that got a serious disease and said, well, that's their problem because God's punishing them? You're in the same boat the disciples were and everybody in Israel during that time because they thought the same thing. They see a blind man and they're like, oh, somebody sinned in that family. So there's the stigma. There's the number one stigma. Number two, if you have somebody that is different than you, isn't it interesting to go up to them and talk to them? Not in this culture. In that culture, it was like, nope, you're going to sit outside or inside the city gate, and the only way that you can make a living is if people will give you money. Alms. Alms for the poor. Can you imagine what it was like at the gate of the city where everybody was begging? How would you stand out? If you were lame or you couldn't walk, at least you could see and you'd be like holding your cup out. If the person's blind, they're just like this and the crowd's over there. unless they had somebody to help them. And then what would it look like if they're begging like this and somebody else was like, I want their money, and they take them and they run off. You can't chase them. It looks like utter hopelessness at this point for Bartimaeus. I find it interesting that when we read the Bible, sometimes we look and we see things that aren't really there, and sometimes we need to dig a little bit deeper. And as we read about Bartimaeus, we find out that his name is Bartimaeus. What was his father's name? Timaeus. You know what Bar means? Son of. You know what? This poor man didn't even have a name. I don't know what brought him to this. We're just going to call you Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Thank you. I think I'll wear that proudly. You wonder if it was kind of a reminder to everybody, well, that's the son of Timaeus. He was the one that sinned. You wonder if they had anything that was really, really bad that happened in the family. They're like, see, that's why he's blind. And if you don't believe me, it's in the scripture. We'll go there in a little bit. Let's actually go there now. John 9. And this one, a lot of people say it's the same person. I don't really know, or I don't really care, because when Jesus heals somebody, it's such a wonderful thing. John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Teacher or Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered and said, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. He must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, the disciples even thought that when you do something bad, bad things happen to you. Oh, wait, do we believe in that? How many of you have ever been taught that if you are God's child, that nothing bad can come near you? I kind of was taught that growing up, and then I grew up and realized that's crazy. That sometimes when you're closest to God is the times that you suffer the most. But the suffering is not just to suffer. It's to proclaim that God is good. So every time you have a beggar out here, it's not that they were bad or their parents were bad, but it is to proclaim that God is good. Can you imagine at the gate that day? I just imagine with my holy imagination, I guess it's holy on Sabbath. But can you imagine that gate and him saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet. Jesus, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet. Jesus, have mercy. I'm not giving up. I have heard the stories. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's back up just a little bit. Picture with me this morning a young family. They're expecting a child. Everything seems happy. The pregnancy seems normal. The hopeful plans that they have, the party, the expectation of the waiting, the day arrives. The birth is very critical during this time because lots of people died during birth, even children during this time. But the mother and child are doing well. The baby seems to be healthy. And then a few days later, they notice something's a little bit off. The baby's head turns toward the noise. But when you do this, nothing. The eyes seem to be like staring off into space all the time. And even mom notices while nursing, something's not right. Something's not right, so they take the baby to the priest, because that's what they did back then. They would take it to the priest. Said, what's wrong with my baby? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. And they start doing some tests, and they're like, I'm sorry. Your child's blind. Now, coming from that mindset of somebody sinned, when you're a parent and a baby is proclaimed that it cannot see, what's the thing that you're thinking in your head? What have I done? Searching your heart, searching everything and going, what have I done, God? I'm sorry, I don't know. Please don't do this to my child. And everything is just confessed before God. And then eventually something comes in, ding, in your head. I can't do anything about this. You take them to all the specialists, all the people that can help, and they look and they're like, I can't do anything. We tried, and they tried every kind of thing. Everybody suggested, because as parents, don't we do that? Because we want the best for our children. This young family started to notice that loud noises were the only thing that they considered something that the child could look at, and realized that eventually blindness was the thing that our child has. It's a tragic story, really, but the tragic story is not an end. Blindness is something that is not an end. The young family takes him to the priest, and as he pronounces blindness, a sentence in those days of poverty to that child, I wonder what it looked like for the first day that they took the child to a place where he had to beg. Parents, do you go with your child? I mean, the stigma's there. Do you go dress him up in his best and put him out there? Can you imagine the first day? I mean, we proudly, the first day of school, hey, we get take pictures of our child, and, you know, first grade through, well, whenever they graduate from whatever, 20 years later. But what would it look like the first day begging? I thought about that this week, and it almost tore my heart apart. Would I actually go and do that? Yes, it's my kid. Would I teach him? And then had to think about it. What if I get too old and can't take care of him? What's going to happen then? Then I started thinking about other things. What about when they're begging it, if somebody takes the money away from him? Or what's this? I mean, how many of you could go like this? What am I holding? I don't even know. I don't know what kind of coin. Oh, it's quarter. Okay. You reach in there and you're like, oh, I can tell sizes. Ooh, that's smaller. What is that? Oh, it's a penny. You'd think if it's smaller, it might be a dime. But after a while, you had to teach them the difference between the coins. I don't know if they had paper during that time. Typically not. They just had different coins of different metals. And he had to basically learn, is this silver? Is this bronze? Is this gold? Seems to be a really horrific story, and that there was no hope. It seems to be a long, drawn-out process, a sentence of life that is just poverty, and it's just so sad, and we want to help. As he grows up, he tries to fit in. The son of Timaeus, only known as that, he's even given that name in the text because of the stigmas. And seeing all those that had physical changes during the time, it makes me think about the people that were begging right beside him. And when he got Jesus' attention, can you imagine the ones that were lame that could see and they watched the miracle? I mean, be with me there right now. What would it look like when we see the blind man all of a sudden seeing because we can see and he has his sight? And you are lame and you have no capability of getting up off that bed. What happens next? Is it a morose, terrible story? It doesn't tell us in the scripture, but my imagination goes, the gate fell down again, because this is Jericho. It fell down again because not just one, not just two, not just three, but everybody in that whole area were like, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me too. I don't think it ended with the blind man. I don't think it ended that day with the blind man. I think it didn't end at all. In fact, I think that the next day, the gate of that city was empty. But that's just my imagination. When Jesus came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, it seemed that the blind man all of a sudden triggered something that was just not there before. Bart may have grown up blind, but when he saw, the first thing he saw was Jesus' face. Over the years, he had developed a keen sense of hearing. Can you imagine? I mean, just sit there, close your eyes. Close your eyes today. I want you to listen to the coos of children, the air conditioning. Don't shush them, it's okay. pretty soon you can hear a pin drop. But in a crowd, if you are keenly tuned in with your hearing and that's all you have, you can start to hear things. You can pinpoint people. You can see where things are in your mind kind of with just the direction. And it's amazing that when you start hearing people talk, all of a sudden you hear little stories and little snippets here, there, and everywhere. In fact, you get into everybody's business and you don't want to be because you have a better sense of hearing than everyone. You hear somebody in the marketplace getting a great deal, and you hear another person getting absolutely ripped off. You hear people fighting. You hear people singing praises because of things that are happening. You see things through a different way, through your ears. And imagine the first day he heard it. Have you heard about Jesus, that guy from Nazareth? Have you heard that he healed someone today? The man had a withered hand. Did you hear that he rose someone out of their coffin and they are no longer dead? Did you hear that Jesus, that guy from Nazareth, cast out demons and they ran away screaming and the person has a normal life now? Can you hear the stories one by one and the things that start to get into the heart of Bartimaeus? He can't see, but he can hear. And as he is hearing, he starts to notice that I want to meet this guy. I don't know where he was that morning when Jesus came in or if it was the morning before, but I know that as he was leaving, people were dropping coins here, there, and everywhere on the people that were at the gate. I don't know if Jesus came in through a different one or what, but as he was leaving, he was listening to the crowd and all of a sudden it got unusual. There was a big crowd this time. There was something going on and people were whispering. They're like, Jesus, Jesus? Jesus? Eventually, he knew that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and hearing those stories, he just had nothing but hope. And how about you? This morning, if you heard that Jesus was coming and that he was going to bring back the things that he has always said he's going to bring, how many of you would go look? All of us. If he burst through those back doors, which would be wonderful today, because COVID would be bye-bye. And those two people mentioned earlier, those precious people, wouldn't have to worry. In fact, some of you that are in the medical and healthcare, occasionally you'd be out of a job. But I think you'd be okay with that. In fact, the people that were surrounding Jesus all of a sudden came to this point that Bart did. I need him. The people that could see, they weren't looking for Jesus just because they could see him. The people who couldn't hear were not looking for him just to hear. The people who could not see were not looking for Jesus just to see. The people that were around him that were broken and destroyed were looking for Jesus not to get well, but they were looking because they knew that he was the Messiah, and without the Messiah, they had nothing. How can a blind man have faith? Let me tell you, how can we as people who see have faith? Because when you look at those people that are holding up the signs in this town, what goes through your mind? Same thing that goes through Pastor Nelson's. They have help wanted signs not even a quarter mile from you, and you can't get a job. That's what goes through our minds, be honest. And when you run into somebody with a lot of need, it's exhausting, but it's worth it. Because when you help somebody take care of themselves, it's amazing. And remember, I said take care of themselves. Because when Jesus said, Bartimaeus, I want you to look and see, and he did, the eyes paid attention to what the master of the universe had said. I want you to see, you are able to see. And he saw immediately. And when he saw, he said he followed Jesus. It said that he threw his outer cloak off. Did you realize he didn't go back for it? He was very excited. How many of you, if Jesus came up and said, you're healed from all the issues that you've ever had, would leave everything. As we listen to this day by day, and we see this man day by day, Galilee, Messiah, Jesus. You hear the name of Jesus, a nation that was hopeful to see that the Messiah was coming. We're occupied by other countries, but the stories kept coming through the air to his ears. He healed a leper, he healed a woman, he cast out evil spirits, he raised a young man from the death casket. Do you know at that point that if Jesus was around, that even you and I would yell the loudest we've ever yelled to try and get his attention? Everyone thought young Bart was from a sinful family, and somehow as a young man he sinned, or his family sinned. As he was begging as he was at the gates, it seemed that the only thing that confirmed anything was the fact that he couldn't make anything except for alms. His eyes weren't getting better. He must have sinned. He had to pay attention and feel everything that was around him and look at those coins and learn the value and try not to get ripped off. He had to learn the difference between gold, silver, and brass and tin, if it was fake or not. Begging almost was an admission of sin back then, so I see people even putting things in there that they shouldn't have. Can you imagine throwing in things that were lead? Feels like gold. Sitting at the gate, the rest of the fringe dwellers all around him, he became the people that he was supposed to be. But when he started to hear about Jesus, there was a glimmer of hope. He was there at the gate when Jesus came. I'm reminded in closing of a story. It's not really a story at all because I saw it. How many of you have ever been to New York City? Have you ever been in the subway system? The subway system has its culture of its own, besides the rats. They're as big as dogs. Chihuahuas, at least. It's amazing to me when you go down into the subways that there is a culture change. And at every little junction where the subway goes this way, that way, and that you can change the different subways and go deeper or go shallow or go east or go west or north and south, that there is music. Sometimes the music is played by exasperated musicians who can't make a living because they come to New York City thinking that they're going to get into, you know, maybe Juilliard's, and they made it into the Fifth Street Station. Or the fact that they just love music and they play it. But there are a very few of them that are actually, the only thing they can do is play music because they want to get paid because they can't work any other way. Some of them don't have legs or feet, or some of them are veterans. Some of them have just been down on their luck. Some of them have mental illnesses. There's this one young man, though, that was sitting there and he was playing a guitar. And it was amazing because when you listen to the guitar, it bounced off all the walls and, you know, there's lots of noise around. But there was something different about this young man. His music was a little more rich than most. In fact, it had a lot more to just content. The words that were in his song as he sang and played his guitar, it was spellbinding to me. And as a young man, I had to stop and I had to give him some money because just out of the fact that it was beautiful, I needed to give him something. I also noticed that while he was singing, he was happy. And I also noticed that while he was getting money from people, that wasn't the reason why he was doing it that day. He was more than overjoyed to share his music. And people gathered around and people listened, and you could see the countenance of everybody lifting as they heard the music of this person. And when I thought about it as a young man, I was like, this guy, I don't even know if he has a home. He may live here. I mean, that's what his clothes look like. But he is happily playing this music and it is exuding out of him the happiness that he has. And I see all these people going by him like this. Wallets and purses bulging. Wallets and purses from Coach and Gucci and whatever else the names are nowadays. But the happiness was not on their face, and yet this man that had his guitar and dirty clothes and a case that had a little bit of money in it was joyous. And I started to think about that, and I realized that, you know what? Bartimaeus probably was that same man because he was the one that had hope. He held out beyond any doubt. And when people told him, be quiet, and I don't think they use that word. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's kind of like, be quiet very naughtily. We have children in here. I'm not going to say it. You see, Jesus was walking by, and if it was a subway system and he came across a young man like this, my question was, would he heal him? He would heal the ailment, but he didn't need to heal his heart. In fact, I will say that today, that Jesus, the only thing that he healed in Bartimaeus was probably his eyes and maybe a little bit of the hurt that people gave him, but Bartimaeus had the rest because he followed Jesus. The skill and the experience in life, the mixture of words that he used, the notes and all the ways that he got money, all of a sudden that day came to a stop and he wanted to follow Jesus because he was now freed from the stigmas. Sometimes hearing is absolutely the right thing for us to do, is to listen to God. Do you remember the first time you heard the story of Jesus? Think about it. Some of you are like, wow, that was a long time ago. Do you remember the first time you heard the story of Jesus? Do you remember the joy, the enthusiasm? Do you remember the hope? Do you imagine seeing the things that God did in our lives and suddenly receiving the word that God is real? You see, friends, some of us that have grown up in the church and that have heard the stories, that have gone through Sabbath school, that have gone through the school, we may have missed the fact that God is real. He's not attached to some name or label, but God is real, and he wants to speak to our hearts. But you know what? We too are blind. We're blinded by us. We're blinded by the fact that we think, I'm a sinner, God can't change me, end of story. Or the fact that, God, does he exist? If he did, wouldn't there be a lot of more nice stuff going on the earth right now? Same stigmas that we have back with the disciples, that if God is good, why aren't good things happening? If you ask Bartimaeus that, he would say, because I see Jesus now in a way that you'll never see him. Tell me, family and friends, the struggles that you've had in your life, do they not draw you nearer to God? And when they draw us close to God, there is something that we live after that is different than any time before, and that is the fact that we can see Jesus' face in just a little different light. That it's no more darkness. It's not something we can't get our hands around or our mind around. But God says, I'm going to reach out to you in this time, and you're going to know it's only me. And when you reach out and you see that it's only God, guess what? My heart changes. And my heart says to my head, hey, where have you been this whole time? You should know that God, if he says he's real, and you hear it and you experience it, what's wrong? How come you really didn't embrace it? And you know what my answer was? Because I'm a sixth generation Seventh-day Adventist, don't we inherit that? Do you realize that Bartimaeus was also probably Jewish? Many, 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 many generations. And he was still blind. But the end of the story is the most wonderful thing. Bartimaeus is no longer blind. Bartimaeus is not only just not blind, but can you imagine the people that he talks to after Jesus died and rose again? Can you imagine the people that he talks to and says, you know what? There was a man that healed me. I was blind, but I can see. How many of you would argue with him? You could try. I don't know if they had pictures back then, you know, they drew or something like that, but be like, no, you can ask. All my relatives, you can ask. I was blind. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I don't even know what people were. When I first saw people, that was kind of weird. I thought they were a little different. I thought their heads were a lot bigger. I thought their bodies were a lot wider. And some of you, you have really strange voices for what you look like. Because all I could do before is hear you. And I pictured you as something totally different. And if you had no reference to what a human looks like, maybe just touch and feel, can you imagine what it would be like to see someone for the very first time? But every time I hear Jesus healing someone who could not see, you know what they describe? The face. Just look at the person next to you. Look at their face. I know it's covered. But look at the eyes. It's amazing what you can communicate through the eyes. And Jesus, when he looked at people, they knew that he was the Messiah. So let me ask you a question today. If he can heal our eyes and heal the eyes of Bartimaeus, can he not heal us and let us see the good in the world around us? Let me tell you, it is hard to see good right now. It is hard because everything that is put upon us is stress right now because stress sells. But right now, if you look and you see the face of Jesus, and you are the face of Jesus to other people, you will become what Jesus knows can be very infectious. Because if you offer hope in the world we live today, name me someone who doesn't want it. In fact, I know that people will be clamoring just like at that gate, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't want to live here anymore. Jesus, thou Son of David, please, I do not want to be in this circumstance anymore. Can you please tell me how to get out of it? You know what our job is? All we can do is point them to the face of Jesus and say, you know what? The Holy Spirit will do it. And that if you have any kind of ailment whatsoever, God can take care of it. But maybe you need it right now so that you can see the face of Jesus more clearly later. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we're learning from a man that didn't even have a name, that he was just the son of Timaeus. Dear Father, we pray that you will help us to see you as clearly as he did. He heard you first, dear Father. He heard your voice. He listened to your voice and he followed you even if he couldn't see exactly where you were at. And dear Father, after he came to you, you said, I want you to see, and he did. And dear Father, as he witnessed all the people after then, they couldn't argue with him because he had seen your face and he couldn't see before. Dear Father, help us to see in our full sight lives that we are blind, that we can't see you clearly. Please show yourself to us because we want to see you. Dear Father, help us to point others to you too because they need you too. And dear Father, again, we want to thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.